Hey everybody, welcome back to my podcast. My name is Eden, and this is another segment of Brutal Crime. In this crime episode, I'm going to be talking about the senseless murder and the brutal rape of a 8-year-old child named Cherish Periwinkle. Now, I have talked a lot about some senseless things on my podcast, things that should never have happened, things that were premeditated, and this should have never happened. I do, however, blame several people in this sense, but mostly I do blame the mom. Regardless of the fact that, you know, she's gone on Dr. Oz trying to clear her name, which she did pass the polygraph saying she had nothing to do with her daughter's murder. However, when you hear the details involving this case, your mind's going to change completely. I don't even know how she was able to sit in the same room as Nancy Grace without Nancy Grace punching her in the face, just because it just does not seem right. I'm not happy with this situation. This is absolutely horrible. Okay. So on June 21st, 2013, Rain Cherish and her two younger sisters went shopping when they first met the guy who ultimately ended Cherish Periwinkle's life. So this man was Donald Smith, who was later discovered to be a registered sex offender with several priors. He was actually released from prison 3 weeks prior to Cherish's death. We're going to get into that in just a little bit, but let's talk about what happened. So Rain and her daughters were at a Dollar General at 9 o'clock at night. Okay. Now, this man comes walking up to them. He's like, oh, hey, I have a $150 gift card. I'm going to give it to you. I'll help you buy some clothes. I mean, at first sense, you know, when you see this guy walking up to you, you're a young mom, you've got children, they're all little girls. The last thing you're going to do is talk to a stranger who's offering you money. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. At least not in my opinion. I'm a young mom. I'm 29 and I have 4 children. And even now, to this very day, I will never take my children to the grocery store. And if I do, I let somebody know where I'm going. I let them know what time I'm going. And I make sure I go at a decent hour. I don't take them at nighttime. Because of the simple fact that child trafficking and predators, that is like when they want to strike the bit. Like, I just don't even get it. Oh my God. Okay. So she's at this Dollar General. She meets this guy. And she basically was like, okay. And he keeps telling her that he's going to give her this gift card. He's going to pay for all of their clothes. And he's waiting for his wife. His wife is going to meet them. So already he's kind of grooming them from the beginning, right? But like I said, any sane mother who has brain cells would immediately say, dude, back the fuck off my kids. Get away. I don't know you. And on top of that, we don't take our kids to the grocery store at 9 o'clock at night, regardless. So not only did she give in to this guy, but she got in the van with her children. She and her children got into this stranger's van and went to Walmart. Okay. So they're at Walmart for the next 2 hours. So it's 10:30 p.m. So Smith, the guy, offered to buy them all cheeseburgers at McDonald's. There was a McDonald's at the store, and it was just like, already, no, it's 10:30 p.m. What is the matter with you? So Rain basically got the sense her daughter's missing. In the audio recording for the 911 call, which I will play for you, you can basically hear Rain. She's emotional. She's upset. But she waited 30 minutes to call 911. So however, not only that, but if I am at the grocery store, I don't care if it's my child is out of my sight for 2 seconds. I am losing my shit, okay? I would not wait 30 minutes to report my child missing. If my daughter was out of my sight and I could not find her, I would start raising hell. I would scream at the top of my lungs, hello, my child's gone, somebody help me, whatever. But she waited 30 fucking minutes. Oh my God. I'm so pissed off right now. My blood pressure is raising, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have an aneurysm at the end of this podcast. So, basically, the CCTV footage shows Cherish and this man walking out of Walmart. And then the 911 call happened. So, he apparently convinced her to go with him. The surveillance footage shows that they walked out instead. But this was the last time Cherish was seen alive. So about an hour or half an hour later, Rain called the police to report that her daughter had been abducted and an Amber Alert was issued. Now, here's the thing. Here is one thing that really did piss me off about this whole situation. So the police department didn't necessarily take this seriously from the get-go. They waited 5 hours to issue the Amber Alert. This was 5 hours, okay? When a mother calls you and says, oh my God, my child is missing. There was a guy, I know his name, and then you immediately look him up and you see that he is a registered sex offender. This should be instantaneous. This should not be 5 hours later. This should be, okay, somebody just took my child from a store. Please issue the Amber Alert now. They would have immediately put an alert on the van. She had the make and the model of the van. She knew what the guy looked like. They knew he was a registered sex offender, but they still waited 5 flipping hours to issue the Amber Alert, which means that in that time where she was abducted, they could have ultimately saved her life. However, we'll get into that. Right now, we're going to play the 911 call.
Check the 911, Robinson. Hi, that Walmart. Ventura's been taken.
What do you mean?
Taken by a stranger. I can't find her.
Okay, ma'am, how old is... And you say you have the Walmart on Lim Turner?
Yes, I am.
Okay, where did you last see her at?
Walmart. I met a man today at Dollar General. He saw that I was struggling to buy them some clothes. He drove us here to buy us some clothes, and the only reason I went with him because she said his wife was going to be here. Because I told him I don't take rides with strangers.
Okay, ma'am, what's...
Yes.
And her last name? Can you spell that for me, please? And is she a white female, black female?
Excuse me?
Is she a white or black female? What color
shirt? I don't remember what clothes she's wearing because I'm panicking right now. I'm trying not to panic.
Okay, and she was last seen with this man?
Yes, he said he was going to McDonald's and he hasn't been there because the store is closed right now.
Okay, is he a white man or a black man?
A white man. He's got white short hair and he's got dark eyebrows.
You said dark short hair?
No, he's got white hair and dark eyebrows. I had a strange feeling about him when I first met him. And he took her to the dressing room twice, and I was hoping that she would be okay. And I was looking at the shoes, and I didn't want him to think that I was overly protective, freaking out. But now they're not here, and I find it very odd because he knew that.
Oh, okay, ma'am. What color vehicle does he drive?
It's a white van.
Do you remember any stickers or anything on the side of the van? Anything that you can remember at all? Did it have tinted windows or anything?
I know he's got carpet in the van. And his ticket didn't look
right. And he said what?
He didn't take a good look at the van.
Okay, do you remember did you see any tag on it or anything? Was it a Florida tag?
No, I didn't look at that. I feel like a fool.
Okay, can you remember what he had on?
No, I don't remember anything because I'm panicking right now.
Okay, ma'am, what's your name?
My name is... He said his name is Dawn. He said he was supposed to meet his wife here, and his wife never showed up, and I couldn't figure out why. His wife didn't even show up at Dollar General.
And he told you that y'all were going to meet his wife at the Walmart?
Yes. First, she was supposed to show up at Dollar General, and then he was going to meet with her at Walmart. And we've been here probably 2 hours, and she didn't show up, and I had this cart full of clothes that he said he was going to pay for with a $100 gift card, and I had a bad feeling. I thought, well, I feel like pinching myself because this is too good to be true. So I got to the checkout. He's not here. He isn't here. Now I'm hoping he's not raping her right now because I've had that done to me. It's not fun. She's supposed to go to California in the morning on the plane. And he knows, as I told him this, he knew when the store was closing. I had a bad feeling about him.
Okay, how long have you been looking for him? When was the last time you saw him? How long ago?
About half an hour ago.
About 10:30. You've been looking for her for a half an hour?
Yes. There's nobody in the store. And he knew the store was closing. He said he was going to McDonald's. She went with him. I should have told her to stay with me.
He was going to the McDonald's inside the store?
Yes, there's a McDonald's inside the store. He wasn't here. Oh, somebody said they saw him, but he's not here. He should have had the nerve to stand here and wait. He must know that I'm panicking by now.
Okay, ma'am, where are you in the store now? Are you outside or where?
No, I'm in the front of the store. I think I need to hang up because...
No, ma'am, are you a white female, black female? Shirt do you have on?
5'8".
What color shirt do you have on?
I have on a short black polka dot dress and brown flip-flop sandals. I have long red hair.
And you're right in front of the store?
Excuse me?
Who are you talking to?
The Walmart employee there.
Okay. I'm not going to play any more of that just because of the simple fact that none of this just makes any sense. So in the 911 call, you know, she's explaining several times, you know, he took her daughter to the dressing room twice. She didn't want to seem like she was overbearing or that she was too protective. Yet, any parent would not let that happen regardless. I'm sorry, but no. She said that she had a bad feeling about him from the beginning, but yet she got into the van with her children. She said she should have made her daughter stay with her the entire time. She's very right. She should have made her daughter stay with her the entire time. She shouldn't have even gone with this guy. She shouldn't have even talked to this guy to begin with. But that's how predators work. They groom you. They make you feel safe. And that's just what's hard. But her reference to the fact that I hope he's not raping her right now because I've had that done to me and it's not fun, that to me was a little red flag because, for one, this is about your child. This has nothing to do with you, for one. And I don't really think that that was necessarily good on her end for her to say something like that. Now, she's had a lot of friends and family testify against her, saying that she's not fit to be a mother. I agree. I don't believe that she is, just because of the simple fact that you do not get into a van with a stranger. You don't take your children shopping in the middle, like at nighttime. I don't care. It's 8:00 at night. That could be different in some places, but considering everything that has been taking place and all these people, if you're going to take your kids shopping at any time, in any type of night, you know, be courteous of your surroundings. But she not only accepted an offer from a man that she didn't even know, but she got into the van. And she mentioned in the interview that she did with Dr. Oz and Nancy Grace that she felt like he was grooming them from the beginning. Well, that was very true. He was. He was grooming them from the very beginning. He had scoped them out. He looked at a young mom who didn't necessarily look like the brightest box of crayons, and he used that against her. He preyed upon her. He knew that she was struggling to buy clothes. That was number one. So the way that the predators work are, it's very scary. It's very, very scary. This is why predators should never be released from prison. Okay? I don't care if you think, oh, well, he did the crime. He did the time, and now it's good. No, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. So this is just ridiculous to begin with. Okay, so let's go back to the day that Cherish was last seen alive. Okay. However, surveillance footage shows that she walked out instead, which was the last time Cherish was seen alive. About half an hour later, Rain called the police to report her daughter had been abducted, and an Amber Alert was issued. The next day, Cherish's body was found at a creek behind a Baptist church. It is believed that Smith had bound her in the back of his van, where she was sexually assaulted and strangled to death. So, police immediately identified Smith as the abductor, with his van being one of the main focuses around 9 a.m. the next day. Officers saw his van on the interstate and cornered him before he surrendered and was promptly arrested. Smith was known to police as a local sex offender with a long criminal history, including numerous offenses against minors. He had been released from jail only 3 weeks prior. So Smith's trial began in February 2018. He was found guilty of first-degree murder and sexual battery and was sentenced to death in May 2018. The jurors were in tears after witnessing the crime scene photos of the murder as the defense tried to suppress the images. Julie Schocks, the defense attorney, urged the jurors to focus on the law and rather their not raw emotions. Okay, so first of all, that's bullshit. I don't care. That's the one thing about the law I can't stand. When people are deeply disturbed about a situation. Okay. So, now, here is the crime that took place. I got this from CBS 47 Fox 30 Action News in Jackson. Dr. Valerie Rell performed the autopsy of 8-year-old Cherish Periwinkle back in 2013, and today she walked jurors through photos and details of her findings regarding the child's death. It's all a part of the second day of the Donald Smith trial, the man who's accused of taking the girl from family at Northside Walmart, raping her and leaving her dead in water near church. Rell says she actually went out to the scene where Cherish was recovered. Because of the nature of the case, it was a child that was abducted. It was something that the entire city of Jacksonville was concerned about, she says. When Cherish's body was brought to the medical examiner's office, Rell said she conducted a sexual assault kit where a lot of evidence was collected. The next day, the full autopsy was performed. While preparing to bring out the photos taken during that autopsy, State Attorney Melissa Nelson questioned, and Rell confirmed that they limited the amount of photos they would show to those of which who would assist Rell's testimony. There are many areas of injury uncovering during the testimony, from the scrapes and bruises that Rao believes were the result of Cherish being transported to where her body was found, to ant bites that happened after her death. With the exception of the insect activity, Rao says that she determined all of the injuries that she suffered happened before her death. The cause of death, Rao determined, was mechanical asphyxia. What she sustained was tremendous force to her neck, such as she basically could not breathe. She suffered swelling of her brain as a result of lack of oxygen to her brain, as a result of which she died, Rao testified. Rao described the autopsy photos shown to the injury, which pictured hemorrhaging and busted blood vessels around her neck as a result of her strangulation. Rao could not determine what was used, but she determined the bruise pattern was wide and generally consistent with an article of clothing, like a t-shirt. The force used during the strangulation was so strong that Cherish suffered skin abrasions as well. Rao estimates it would have taken 3 to 5 minutes for the girl to die in this manner. Here we have two people who are in a struggle. The child is not incapacitated, and she is going to struggle during this entire process, she said. Cherish was also raped prior to her death, and Rouse's injuries resulting from that were severe. Looking at her genital area and her anal area, she had so much trauma. The anatomy was totally distorted by the injury that she sustained to both her vaginal area and her rectum. Rao testified. Rao says that she also examined Smith at the police memorial building and he had injuries to his penis which related to trauma and were consistent with the timing of Cherish's death. There were extensive swabs taken in an effort to match DNA to a suspect and Nicole Lee with the Florida Department of Law Enforcement's Regional Crime Lab in Jacksonville says many of those samples did in fact point to Smith. Lee says semen was found in Cherish's mouth, vagina, and her rectum and other DNA was recovered from around her neck. Lee was able to get a full DNA profile from Smith samples that were sent out to the lab. For the DNA that was collected from Cherish's neck, Lee says it was a match to Smith. She says it's a 1 in 35 quintillion match, meaning she is confident that the only other person responsible could be an identical twin if Smith had one. Okay. Basically, this child was brutally murdered, and she was brutally tortured, and she spent the last few hours of her life fearing for her life. And if you are a parent, it is almost absolutely impossible to want to imagine something like this happening, but this actually happened, and Cherish's legacy needs to remain alive to this very day, because this is happening way too much. People are releasing pedophiles from off the streets, they are releasing them out of prison, and they are allowing them back into society, and it is almost instantaneous that they will actually offend again, and I just do not understand this. So, In several of the jailhouse recordings that Mr. Smith had actually conducted in jail, he basically portrayed himself to his mother. He was trying to be, like, sneaky about this, but there is audio recordings and video evidence of him doing sign language with his mother, trying to basically pretend like he was a mentally ill person. He blamed Cherish for the murder. He said basically he was trying to make it look like he was mentally incapacitated to where he could just go to a hospital instead of being in prison, because he didn't want to go in prison. He said he wouldn't survive a month in prison, otherwise he would be raped himself or beat up or have his eye poked out. I'm sorry, sir, but that's literally a godsend compared to what you did to this child. If anything, you deserve every bit of what you did to that child have done to you. I'm sorry, but you do. So the entire situation is completely screwed up from the beginning. So when they discovered that he was a registered sex offender and he had a long history of assault against minors, somehow he just got released. Like, it was nothing. Like, hey, you know what? You did the crime, you did the time, and now you're free to live in society. However, 3 weeks after he was released from prison, he brutally raped and tortured a young 8-year-old daughter, or a young 8-year-old child, and she is now dead. And this is why. So, let me just put this into perspective with you, for you really quick. In the state that I live, it's illegal to have a pit bull off of its leash, okay? If you take a pit bull to an vet clinic, you have to have that animal muzzled. Now, pit bulls get a really bad rep, and I don't understand why, really, because it's a product of how you're raised, for one, but two, they say that pit bulls have a nature to attack and bite and whatever. So, as with any other dog, I just don't understand this. However, because it's a pit bull, you can get fined, your animal will get taken away. If any animal is seen attacking another human being, that animal is immediately muzzled and put away and put down, because that animal cannot go back into society. Parents can actually get their children taken away from them if they have an animal that has an aggressive state and has attacked them, because they look at that as what kind of parent would literally put a animal back into their house that attacked one of their children. However, it's completely different when it comes to child molesters, predators, and registered sex offenders. They're like human beings, so apparently they need to be treated like human beings, so they let them back out into society, which makes absolutely no flipping sense to me at all. Not even. I don't even understand this. You wouldn't let a dog go back out into society after it bit somebody, but you'll let a person, a human being who made a choice to brutally assault a child, back into society and say, here you go, you just have to be on the registry and you're free to go. It just doesn't make sense to me. So if you go on your phone, go into your app section and download the registered sex offender app, you will literally see your phone blow up like it has the measles. And you have a picture perfect example of how many pedophiles and child molesters and all of these other offenders are in your area. I downloaded this app a little too late and I really wish I would have. So in my town, I moved here because of the simple fact that it's a quiet town, people are nice, I know the police officers here don't really necessarily strike you as a place that allows this kind of stuff to happen. However, being only here shy of a year at the time, I got a knock on my door. It was just this man. He was like, hey, I'm a retired vet, I'm here to mow yards, I just gotta make a little extra money. Is it okay if I mow your yard for $25 a week? And I was like, sure, you can mow my yard, $25 a week, that's fine. Didn't think anything of it. So he mowed my yard a couple of times, for once a week, it was no big deal. So he mowed my yard at least 3 times. So that was like a 3-week period. Didn't really see much of him. Well, he came by to my house once and he was like, hey, I'm going to mow your yard tomorrow. Can I just go ahead and get paid first? And I was like, well, I can't necessarily pay you until my husband gets home, because he's got my card and I would have to go get it taken off. And he was like, oh, okay, so do you know when he'll be back? And I was like, didn't think anything of it. And I was like, yeah, he'll be home in probably a few hours. And he was like, okay. So he left.
About an hour later, he comes knocking on my door and goes, hey, do you have the money? And I was like, I told you, my husband's not home, and when he does get home, I'll let you know. And he was like, okay, that's fine. So he left. 30 minutes later, he comes back to my house, and he was like, hey, do you have the money? And I was like, dude, seriously, I told you I would let you know when my husband came home. He's like, all right, sorry, I don't, you know, not trying to bug you, I just really need the money. And I was like, well, I told you I don't have it, and you haven't mowed my yard yet, so the fact that I'm paying you before you mow my yard, you know, you really don't need to be so pushy. So he left, and then he came back 45 minutes later, and I was like, all right, you know what, you need to leave, because you're making me uncomfortable. Before he started acting all creepy and whatever, he had taken notice to my children, and my youngest one, Willow, he actually poked her in the belly, and he was like, you are just the cutest little thing ever, you're so cute. And I was like, thank you, but don't do that, I don't know you, don't touch my children. And so I was already kind of like weirded out about the guy, so, but I got it into my head, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna download this stupid app, because I don't know what's going on, I just wanted to double check, I had a gut feeling. And when I downloaded the app, I noticed that the guy I had been allowing to mow my yard was a registered sex offender with three counts of child molestation under 5 years old, children under 5 years old. So I was absolutely mortified. So this guy came back over to my house, and I looked at him, and I was like, if you do not leave my house, I'm going to call the police, because I know exactly who you are. You do not need to be anywhere near my kids. I don't know how you were able to do this in the first place, considering... and he was like, no, don't call the police. And I was like, no, I'm literally about to call the police. I'm about to tell them what you're doing. I need you to leave. So he ended up leaving, and I did alert the police department of what was going on. I haven't heard much of him since. I haven't seen him. But it was a simple fact that he was a registered sex offender with several counts of child molestation of children under 5 years old. And it was absolutely easy for him to come and knock on my door. Had I not downloaded the registry app, I would have never have known that he was a child molester. So please, I do advise you to download the app, check around your surroundings, double check, make sure the people you know are who they are. It is very, very scary. I am grateful for that app because, like I said, had I not downloaded it, I would never have known that he was a child molester. And the fact that it was so easy for him to knock on my door. I don't know if there is like a higher power that was watching over me that day. However, I'm grateful that if there was a higher power and they were watching out, I'm grateful for that because I was home by myself. This man could have easily changed my life within a split second, and I would have never even known. So please download the app. Now, back to the situation. So here you go. You have a mom who is a young mom. She's being groomed by a creepy guy who is offering her money. She's struggling. She can't buy her kids stuff, and she basically befriends this guy. She doesn't even know him. And then she gets in the van, and then she goes to Walmart, and then her daughter gets taken, and her daughter gets brutally raped, and she is murdered. And I just don't understand, like, the whole situation. This doesn't make sense. Had these people taken into consideration that this guy was a repetitive offender, he should have stayed in prison. So, this is... this is one of these crimes that just absolutely pisses me off because it absolutely could have been prevented, but it was not. So this just doesn't make sense to me. If you guys have children, you will know that it is your number one responsibility to protect your children. Any person with a brain would know not to befriend somebody that you don't know, let alone get into the car and then get your children to feel safe around an individual, because your children are going to follow your example, okay? So I am going to end this podcast now. I really hope that you guys can understand how serious it is. And this is why pedophiles and child molesters do not need to be on the registry. They need to be locked in jail. They don't need to be let out on good behavior because they will offend again. Had these people just taken that into consideration, this child may have been still alive to this very day. But also, the mother really needed to be held responsible. Have a good night, you guys. Thank you for listening to my podcast. I will catch you later. Bye.